Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu. Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Tough love, high target, test-heavy education is in. Urgent, necessary, we're told. Now a new documentary with a different narrative is gaining momentum. The film Race to Nowhere says our schools have become test-obsessed, high-stakes pressure cookers, that they're churning out ill-prepared adults without creativity or ethics, that they're stripping humanity from our kids. This hour on Point, the pressure's on. How do we go for the gold educationally without driving our kids over the edge? You can join the conversation. Do you feel it? The unrelenting pressure to succeed. Do you welcome it? Hate it? See a choice. And you can comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. You want to hear a little bit of the contrast? Here's Arne Duncan, Education Secretary, talking with PBS's Gwen Ifill at an education town hall just last week, just after these latest so-called PISA standardized test scores came out, showing China and many other countries blazing past the United States in math, science, the humanities. He was talking here in Washington, D.C.
I think it's my job to tell the truth. And whether you look at these recent PISA results, which we are mediocre at best, whether you look at a 25% dropout rate in this country, whether you look at in one generation that we've fallen from first to ninth in the world in college graduates, by any measure, we're not doing what we need to be doing to keep America great.
There's the perspective of the Secretary of Education of the United States of America. Here's Kelly, a ninth grader in the new film documentary Race to Nowhere. She's at Monte Vista High School, Danville, California, talking about the pressure she feels as a high-achieving teenager, living it.
We live in a society today where, like, oh, you have to be smart, but also you have to be pretty, and also you have to, you know, do sports, and you have to be involved in the arts, and amongst all that, you have to find something unique about yourself, and you have to know yourself, because if you don't know yourself before you do all of that, you're gonna lose yourself.
Yes, the pressure's on. Joining me now from Berkeley, California is Vicki Abeles, former Wall Street attorney, mother of three, director of the new education documentary Race to Nowhere. She began the project after her own 12-year-old daughter was treated for school-induced stress. Vicki Abeles, welcome to On Point. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
We're going to get into the stories in your film, but let me put the big question to you right off the bat. We see these scores. We're told again and again by our leaders the United States is falling behind competitively because our kids are not getting the education they need, to go toe-to-toe in this world. Are you saying we can't do that?
No, I think that we can. I think today's system isn't generating kids who are independent thinkers and ready to contribute to the world. So I think we have to ask ourselves whether we are wanting to create a generation of test takers and resume builders, or do we want problem solvers and lifelong learners and healthy young adults?
I mean, your litany is here. You say we've got a system and a culture obsessed with the illusion of achievement, teachers burning out, kids burning out, cheating commonplace, students disengaged, stress-related illnesses, depression, young people arriving at college and the workplace unprepared and uninspired. How can that be the outcome of ardent effort to do better, Vicki?
Right. Well, so I think that in our effort to do better today, we've moved to a quantity-driven model of education as well as the outside activities. And we think that the way to prepare young people for the future is to do more of what we've always done and then to measure everything. And I think that the key to transforming what we're doing in education is not to test and standardize everything, but actually to individualize education and to focus on growing and developing young people, to put the students in an environment where they want to learn and where they can naturally discover their passions. I think we have to rethink how we nourish human capacity.
You were not an education advocate. Tell us more about what got you into this, and once you started filming for A Race to Nowhere, what you found.
Right, Tom. So this started, as you pointed out, when my 12-year-old daughter became physically sick in seventh grade from the pressures she was feeling and the schedule she was keeping. And as I started to speak to other young people and educators in all kinds of communities, I found young people who were anxious, depressed, sleep-deprived, checked out, many who were arriving in college and the workplace unprepared and uninspired, and I knew there was an important story to tell.
Give us some of the stories that you found.
This film, you know, so we have young people in the film who, where we see many unintended consequences of today's education system, which I think is a microcosm of our larger culture. So I don't want to put this all in the education system. I think that so much of our high-pressure, high-stakes culture has now infiltrated schools and our kids' lives. And so we see many unintended consequences, ranging from young people who are becoming unhealthy and anxious to young people who are compromising values, cheating just to get through the material, and then young people who are arriving in college without the thinking skills because they've been trained in a very narrow way rather than educated.
We're going to talk about the right balance here. You've spoken with a lot of teachers and students about what they're feeling. I guess pressure comes with a lot of what we see in American schools these days, but certainly not only American schools. Look around the world. But here's Nicole, a 12th grader from Oakland Technical School in Race to Nowhere, talking about the stress she felt during the college application process.
I think it was in November where I almost like had an emotional breakdown because at the end of November, that was when UC's application was due, November 30th, and I was also applying for a scholarship. I wasn't eating. I wasn't even taking care of myself. You care so much about getting in, about making people proud of you and living up to that expectation and that standard that like you start neglecting yourself, your health, everything gets focused on that piece of application that you're putting in for people who never meet you.
There's Nicole talking about having a near breakdown over the college application process. Okay, it's intense, but our Education Secretary Arne Duncan may be talking about making things more intense. Here he is again talking just last week.
We need to lengthen the school day. We need to lengthen the school year. Our calendar is based upon the agrarian economy. Children in India and China are going to school 25, 30, 35 more days a year. They're just working harder than us. So we need more time, particularly for disadvantaged children who aren't getting those supports at home. My vision is that schools need to be community centers. Schools need to be open 12, 13, 14 hours a day, 6-7 days a week, 12 months out of the year, with a whole host of activities, particularly in disadvantaged communities.
More, says Arne Duncan, the education secretary, and this country, he says, needs it. Vicki Abeles, director of the new film Race to Nowhere, is with us, and we're going to hear more, but we've got a lot of listeners already. Kim in Bucks County, Pennsylvania. Kim, thanks for calling. What do you know, Kim?
I have a first grader. She's 6 years old, and already the pressure to perform is really outrageous. She brings home a number of different quizzes and marked worksheets on a weekly basis. If she gets one wrong, she says she's failed, she's horrible. The pressure is intense for her to get hundreds on every single worksheet and test. It's so much different. And she's a very bright student, and she does very well. The pressure to perform within a classroom is intense, and she's got so many other things to worry about. She's 6 years old. She has distractions,
yeah,
and normal six-year-old issues that are very natural and normal.
First grade and 6 years old. Do other parents share your concern, or do they look around and say, we've got to compete, this is what it takes, let's go?
That's a good question. I think it depends, in our particular school, on the teacher. Some kids in other classrooms don't necessarily have the same pressure. I don't necessarily think it's something that parents are against. I forwarded that the brief The Race to Nowhere, I've seen that, and I forwarded it to some people, and some people were outraged. I thought it was a wonderful piece. Creativity is not, absolutely not, encouraged in the school system. They want little soldiers, and perfect scores.
6 years old in first grade. Kim, I've got so many callers here. I appreciate yours very much. Let me get one more right here. Deborah, Lexington, Massachusetts. Deborah, you're on the air.
Yes. Hello, Tom. I'm driving, and I hope that you can hear me.
Yes, we can.
I am the mother of a daughter who is a junior at Lexington High School, which is admittedly a very good high school in the state of Massachusetts.
Okay.
And this is a child who is in several AP classes, who is beginning to think about college, and who is stressed enough that she has asked my husband and me if we will be disappointed at her if she does not get into an Ivy League school. She's a friend of a number of kids who've already taken the SAT. One girl got a near-perfect score and is so driven to try to get perfection that she is taking it again, even though she got a 2350.
So you're in a high-performing school, and your daughter feels a lot of stress, a lot of competition around here, but could it be any other way, Deborah? I mean, isn't that what high-performing schools produce globally? I don't know.
That, you know, one of the reasons that we live in Lexington, Massachusetts is because of the education system. On the other hand, the schools are trying to run seminars on how to deal with stress, and yet the teachers are piling on the work, and the kids are completely stressed out. My daughter stays up very late working on her project, and she worries all the time about whether it's good enough.
Deborah, I appreciate your call. Vicki, you're listening to here's from first grade right on up into high school. What do you hear and what we're hearing?
Right. Well, Tom, as we screen this film around the country, I think the reason that we're seeing hundreds, if not thousands, of parents and educators come together is because this is an epidemic, the levels of stress. And we're not seeing no stress, but I think that we have to look at the unhealthy environments that we've created in our schools and the impact it's having not only on the health outcomes, but the impact on learning and educational outcomes. And I think you have to see the film to really fully understand the problem. And even those who might say, we need to compete, we need to do more, I think their view has changed when they see the film, and in the film they see a medical school professor who says, our doctors are not going to be able to treat undiagnosed conditions some days because they've been trained from a script.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the high-stakes, high-pressure edge of American education today and kids being pushed over that edge. Vicki Abeles joins us from Berkeley, California. She's director of the new education documentary, Race to Nowhere. It's been shown in all kinds of venues around the country. You can see clips and a trailer from the film at our website, onpointradio.org. A Wall Street attorney whose own child got overstressed, she stepped back and said, hey, what's going on here? We're joined right now as well from California, Los Altos, California, by Denise Pope, senior lecturer at the Stanford University School of Education. She appears in the film Race to Nowhere. She's also author of Doing School, How We Are Creating a Generation of Stressed Out, Materialistic, and Miseducated Students. Denise Pope, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
I want to read a couple of comments from our website, Facebook, to each of you. One first from Amy in Monona, Wisconsin. It says, my husband and I saw Race to Nowhere. Watching the kids in this film was like watching our daughter. She took advanced classes, you know, was on the honor roll, scored well. Last year, as a sophomore now in college, I guess, she was getting about 3 hours of sleep a night, couldn't think on so little sleep, fell increasingly further behind, barely ate, couldn't handle the stress, thought if she couldn't do everything and do it all just right, she would be a failure at life, quote unquote. By spring, she gave up. We are homeschooling her this year. That's a college student. On the other hand, here's Rick on Facebook who says, pushing kids over the edge? Seriously? Can anyone honestly say that the U.S. education system is serving us well compared to other countries? Is it really because we're pushing our kids too hard or not hard enough? Denise, I think a lot of people on the surface may react in just that way.
Yeah, and I think it's problematic because what we know is pushing them in a way that Vicki's film portrays so well is not the answer. And I think the question is not this concept of push or not push, but how do they spend their time? What are the kinds of things you do in the classroom to really get the critical learners and the ones who are going to be prepared to lead in the 21st century? So it's not just push or not push. It's a lot more nuanced than that.
We'll look at how it might be done right. Vicki, in terms of what you found, I mean, just going down your list, you're finding disengagement, where we would think, there'd be more engagement here. Cheating. Depression. Give us examples, Vicki.
Well, and a number of kids who can't fit into this very narrow way that we define a successful young person today and are simply checking out. And so I think that's contributing to our poor high school graduation rates. And then even the college graduation rates, I believe, are impacted because we've got it backwards. School used to be more of a natural progression. And I think right now you get kids who arrive in college and feel in many cases that the schedule is less than it was in high school. I think it's important, Tom, to remember that we are putting our 24/7 lives on our young people at a time when their bodies and their minds are still growing and developing. And it's the reason that we're seeing so many unhealthy outcomes. And then importantly, again, poor educational outcomes.
Well, we
need to look at the way stress impacts the brain and their child's ability to engage with the material that they're learning.
Let's hear it straight from your documentary. Here's Charlotte Faust, a parent in Carmel, Indiana, talking about her daughter, Allison, who was a good student, sights set on college, and then one bad grade in a math class sent her into a tailspin, got depressed, stopped going to school.
I hope that taking some of the pressure off of Allison going to college helped her make some progress. Just because you don't go to college doesn't mean you're a failure for life. There's other options.
Having a makeup.
Maybe you go part-time. Maybe you wait a couple years. It's not the end of the world if you don't fit the same mold as everyone else.
But it can be the end of the world we see in Race to Nowhere. Here, Jane Marvin talks about her daughter, Devon, in the film. In February of 2008, Devon, straight-A student, musically gifted, committed suicide at the age of 13. And trying to figure out the reasons why, Jane wonders here if Devon was pushed over the edge by a bad grade.
The only thing I can think of is she did have this internal pressure. She was torn up about this mess. She was torn up about, I can't do it. And here's a child who had always been so successful on so many fronts. And a stupid math grade. All I know is it's a lot harder being a teenager than I think it ever was for us.
Jane Marvin, mother of Devon Marvin, who tragically, whose suicide is recounted in Race to Nowhere. All right, Vicki, what do we do about this? If that's what's going on, and at the same time, we are told, and it is clear, we have to compete in a world where lots of students in lots of countries really put in the hours, you know, and bust their back on the grades. What do we do?
Well, so I think, as we talked about earlier, that the key to this is the transformation of education, not just reform, which reform implies making changes to that which already exists. I think we need to rethink the way we do education in this country and the way we see childhood. I think we need to move away from a one-size-fits-all approach to education, and we need to move away from this competitive model of allocating resources, measuring our teachers and our students, because we need all of our students to win in this game of education, if you will.
Denise, is this Americans learning to look more subtly at what's going on with education, or is this Americans saying, we're not up to this race? Others may be doing it 12 months a year, 12 hours a day. We're not in it.
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I think you have to say, what are the outcomes of the races in the other country? And I know we're going to talk about that later in the show as well.
Well, we can talk right now. I mean, the PISA scores came out. I don't know if it's fair, but China or Shanghai, a big city with a lot of high education, but way outpaced the United States.
Right.
The U.S., way down sort of in the, if it was grades, we'd be in the average. Does that mean C anymore? I don't know. But we were way down the 23rd, 24th, you know, in some categories.
Right, absolutely. And so, yes, there are going to be other countries that are training their kids, and training, I think, is the key word there, to really perform well on those kinds of standardized tests. What I think that test does not measure is creativity and the ability to solve complex problems. And what we need to think about is what do we as a country want as the outcomes for our high school graduates and for our college graduates? And just training kids to take tests and pushing them and pushing them, pushing them, and believe me, Shanghai is seeing the same kind of sleep deprivation and stress outcomes that we're seeing here. Are we willing to live with that outcome in the name of test scores, or can we put our efforts into a much more creative workforce who can solve problems and think outside the bubble?
So how do you get accomplished students who are really, you know, vigorous in their studies, in math, in science, and at the same time have that kind of creative atmosphere? I mean, can that be done? Can you have it both ways, Denise?
Absolutely. So what we know in schools of education across the country is this notion of engagement. When a student wants to be there, when they see the relevance and value to what they're learning, and it's done in a way that it encourages them to explore creatively and take a risk and try to solve problems in an interdisciplinary way, we see the kind of learning that you just described.
So
the key is to engage the students, and also to create a schedule in schools that makes it healthy and humane so that they're able to do this instead of falling asleep at their desks and feeling the need to cheat. And we do have schools across the country that are doing this well.
Vicki, what did you find in making the film about why we're not getting that engagement? And there's that word cheating again. Where does that come up and how? You talk about ethics and their corrosion in the film.
Right. Well, so, and I think Denise addresses this a little bit in the film as well, that we see kids who have so much material to get through. And as Denise just pointed out, the high school day is very fragmented. You see students who are taking 5 to 7 classes and then after school needing to shift gears that many times. And sometimes it's just a matter of, you know, do I just get through this? Is the teacher going to look at this homework anyway when they've got 30 kids in the class? And so I think there's so much pressure on these young people to get the grade that they don't think twice about compromising their values, and, you know, particularly when you're also looking at the sleep deprivation. I think that's also another important issue that the film raises. As Denise correctly points out, there are schools that are doing things differently in this country. Just a handful, and we're looking to highlight those success stories where the education is more student-centered, developmentally appropriate, where you have project-based or inquiry-based learning, and more comprehensive assessment tools rather than just teaching to standardized multiple choice tests.
I wonder if we can do that on a massive scale. It's a big country. We'll ask. Let's hear from our listeners. Christina Aiken, South Carolina. Thanks for calling. Christina, you're on the air.
Thanks. I am a math interventionalist, and I know that, you know, standardized testing makes it really difficult for teachers, and my job is to get the 10% that of the bottom of the students. I teach them and I give them strategies. But what I want to say is about the curriculum. The curriculum for math is like a mile long, and then the teachers only go like an inch deep. What needs to happen is that the curriculum needs to be shortened and go a mile deep so that they have the understanding of foundational skills in the lower elementary grades.
Yeah. Christina, do you think we're putting too much pressure on kids to do what needs to be done, you know, or not?
I do think that we do put a lot of pressure on the kids as well as the teachers. Here in South Carolina, we have rigorous testing. We have MAP testing 3 times a year. We have PASS testing, which is a standards testing for the state, in April. And so there's just so much testing going on that they look at the numbers. I have to collect data as part of my job to see whether or not the students are progressing. If they're not progressing, what do I need to do? What do I need to change? So it is stressful for me as well.
Okay, I don't doubt it. On the other hand, looking at that data and figuring out what needs to be done, what needs to be changed, I guess that was the point of having a lot of these tests. One more right here. Mona in Savannah, Georgia. Mona, you're on the air.
Hi. I'm calling because I am an international graduate.
And, yes.
I studied in the Middle East, and also I substituted when I came here to the United States. I can see a little bit of it. I can see the difference between the system there and the system here.
Okay.
There it's more structured. We had 6 periods, 45 minutes each. And in these 45 minutes, we either took a quiz and studied some of the material, and the next class we would
take the quiz of what we got the last time.
So more pressure abroad, Mona? More pressure abroad or more pressure in the United States?
I don't want to say it's more pressure. It's more structured. The kids doesn't have the time that they have here that they waste inside the classroom. We were more structured. Even the concentration time of each child, it's not more than 30 minutes. And these 30 minutes were the time that we used to take the course. Material of the subject.
Yeah, Mona, I appreciate your call, Denise. I mean, there it is again. On the one hand, we hear too much pressure from Christina. Mona's taught abroad and says, look, they have even more structure there. So, you know, what are we supposed to do?
Yeah, and actually, it's interesting because this is not about dumbing down. This is not about coddling. We are talking about actually a more rigorous and challenging way to teach kids. Unfortunately, I disagree with Mona's structure because what we're finding is the traditional six-period 45-minute day is not what we'd like to see these kids do. We'd like to see that opened up so they have more time to do real-life projects, so they have more time to do labs, really get in there and solve the challenging problems. In the real world, you don't learn in little boxes called English and science and math. That's not how you solve problems. So we're actually trying to restructure the school day in a way that mirrors the kind of learning and work that's done in the real world.
Michael in Ashford, Connecticut. Michael, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. I saw the movie a couple weeks ago with a teacher's group.
Race to Nowhere, yeah.
And I think we were all struck by what a different kind of world the filmmaker comes from. It really seemed to be about the wealthy suburbs and with the kind of elite high schools that tend to exist in those towns, and that in my mind it has nothing to do with Obama's race to the top, which is really much more about the vast 80% in the middle that aspires to go to a community college versus kids who are heartbroken because they can't get into Stanford. I mean, my own daughter just went through the college process, and we went to Brown University to sit in on their session, and the dean came right out and said, you know, most of you won't get in, and it felt kind of bad to hear that piece of news, but I think, you know, we're not the kind of social climbing parents that has our heart set on seeing our daughter in an Ivy League school.
Michael, that's a really valuable perspective, and I appreciate it a lot. I mean, Vicki, how about it? Is this just about social climbers in wealthy suburbs, elite schools who, you know, if they don't go to the Ivy League, they've failed?
No, I don't think so. And in our film, you see kids who are coming from urban areas as well as the educators who are teaching in our urban schools. And as we screen the film across the country to young people and teachers in all kinds of communities, what we're hearing is that this film is resonating for the young people and teachers in the urban schools as well as the suburban schools. And I think that we need to transform education for all kids. And we need to ask ourselves, what do we mean by equity? What are we holding out as the gold standard for young people right now? And so I do think the film is speaking to all kinds of communities, and we see that it's not working for any young people. Of course, there are differences in the suburbs and the urban areas, and we absolutely need more resources in our inner city schools and to reduce the schedules that we're seeing in some of our suburban schools. But again, I want to say, what are we holding out as the gold standard in education? And I think that we need to transform education for all kids so that we see young people thriving and becoming healthy, contributing members of society.
Denise, do you see this kind of academic pressure as an allergy of the affluent?
I agree with Vicki. Right now, we have kids in inner city schools who are as stressed out trying to pass the high school equivalency exam, trying to pass what's called the CAESE in California, as kids who are taking four or five APs in a wealthy suburban school. So the stress and the pressure is certainly not one just for the privileged. And I also think with the rhetoric around college these days that we're hearing, for many kids, it's not 80% that are going to be going to the community colleges. There's a lot of rhetoric around the importance of a four-year college versus a two-year college, and that is ramping up the pressure for these kids who normally would just go to the local community college. So, no, I actually disagree with the caller. This is not just about white rich kids trying to get into the Ivy League. It's much broader.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the high-stakes, high-pressure edge of American education today and kids being pushed, says a new documentary, Over the Edge. It's called Race to Nowhere. Its director, Vicki Abeles, is with us today from Berkeley, California. She saw the problem, as she sees it, in her own family with her own daughter, set out to make a film about it to say, hey, wait a minute, what's going on here? Denise Pope joins us from Los Altos, California, senior lecturer at the Stanford University School of Education, author of Doing School. The comments online just keep rolling in. Here's one from LP in Boston, says, oh, please. Students whine about being so stressed and overwhelmed, yet they spend countless hours on Facebook, texting, playing video games. It's a battle to keep them from texting and sneaking onto Facebook during class. Some discipline and concentration might help these stressed-out kids. But here's another, from a teacher saying, you know, I guess I get kids in AP classes, AP stats and calculus. The issue is not lack of background knowledge or even work ethic. They'd lost the desire or ability to passionately engage in deep or intense thinking. What's that about? We're at 800-423-8255. A lot of stir last week when these new rankings came out on the so-called PISA test, internationally given education test with categories in science and math and reading. China's scores were from Shanghai, at least in the report I saw, not the whole country, but U.S. way behind those. Joining us right now from East Lansing, Michigan, is Yong Zhao, distinguished professor at the College of Education at Michigan State University, author of Catching Up or Leading the Way, American Education in the Age of Globalization. He's executive editor of the U.S.-China Center for Research on Educational Excellence. Yong Zhao, thank you very much for being with us today.
Hi, Tom.
So I'm sure you're aware of the kind of concern that's being expressed in Vicki's film, Race to Nowhere. People are looking at China and saying, well, if Chinese kids are studying, you know, all day and all night every day of the year, maybe our kids should be doing it too. Look at the scores out of China. What can we learn from the comparison?
Well, I think not much. What I think that the China, as I wrote in my blog, responding to the all the crazy enthusiasm about China's test scores is that Chinese kids spend a lot of time, about 18 hours actually a day, you know, studying for the test. So in terms of pressure, I think Chinese kids have definitely spent under a lot more pressure, academic pressure. I think the question is not so much about pressure, it's really about what are we pressured to do. I think Vic's film pointed out something that's important here is that as the U.S. moves towards more like China, pressuring our kids to pass all these tests, those are practical meaningless. I think that the test scores do not really mean they really have a good education. So when I say nothing much from that, I think if anything to learn, we should learn not to impose more tests on our kids and our teachers.
Well, okay. I mean, we hear you saying that, and yet some pretty smart people, whether you support them or not, say just the opposite all the time, Yong Zhao. I mean, the president of the United States, we always hear him saying, we've got to, you know, get our educational performance up if we're going to be competitive in this century. Arne Duncan says that all the time. Can it really be that the test scores are meaningless? We're told again and again this, you know, there's China producing ranks of engineers and you name it that are going to be outcompeting us in green energy and all the rest. Can it really mean nothing?
Well, yeah, I think so, because there's actually a lot of data showing that the international test scores do not predict a nation's success, and all test scores for children that when they're in the grade school do not predict their future success either. I think Secretary Duncan and President Obama need to really send their kids to China for a couple of years. They will understand why it's not very useful. And also, you look at China in the world at the same time. I think it was a New York Times article about how millions of Chinese college graduates cannot find a job. At the same time, international firms in China are actually complaining they can't find the qualified talent. So that's such an irony there. The problem is, again, you know, they go after the test scores, but after graduation from college, they don't learn much. anything else that can be useful in real life. So I don't think any of those actually would mean much. And so that's why I think the going after test scores is definitely the wrong way, the wrong indicator to look at as the quality of education.
Denise Pope there at Stanford, you hear Yong Zhao at Michigan State saying, you know, test scores are almost meaningless, and yet Americans are eager to find ways to see how they're doing in a global race. And there's, I mean, you know, waiting for Superman and all the rest, plenty of messages telling us that we're really bombing, that we're not getting pulling it together at all in so much of our education system, Denise.
Right. Well, I'm not supporting what we're doing in many, many of our schools. I mean, I think that's the problem. We're not doing this right in the elite private schools, and we're not doing this right in the lowest of the low, most impoverished areas. And I think what we're recognizing, and I give Arnie Duncan credit for that, is recognizing that education is a huge problem and needs to be fixed in this country. I don't think the message of more, 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 take more tests, I agree, obviously, with what we're seeing in China, that's not the way to go. And I think, in fairness, there are two major groups right now working on ways to assess the new standards that are coming out. And they are looking at many different ways to assess kids on these standards, not just paper and pencil, multiple choice, fill-in-the-bubble test.
Let's go to Ron in Fishers, Indiana. Hi, Ron. Thanks very much for calling. You're on the air.
Oh, thank you. I was just wanting to comment that this is something I've been going around and around with the public school system for quite a while now. I have six children that are spread out over 20 years.
Okay.
So I have
You've been busy.
Two children in the secondary education, and I think we're, you know, when I graduated from school back in the 70s, I had teachers that challenged me, even though I went to a small rural high school.
Sure.
They challenged me to think.
Mm-hmm.
And now instead of concentrating on the process of education and getting away from the original Greek interpretation of education as enlightenment, now we're entirely focused on the product. Rather than teaching kids how to think, we think that if they memorize enough facts, they're going to do better. That's why I agree with the professor who was just talking that the test scores, in my opinion, are meaningless because all you're measuring is how much kids know at that period in time. It's like the old proverb, give me a fish and I'll eat for a day, but teach me how to fish and I will eat forever.
But how are we supposed to know then, Ron, in a country of, hundreds of millions of people and many, many children, how are we supposed to know if we're helping our kids make the mark to be competitive globally with their education? How do we know?
I think I have not seen this documentary, but I intend to, and I think the education is something that's very difficult to measure, and I don't think you can just measure it by how many facts someone knows. We used to be a country of innovators and creators, and now we have a public education system that's just trying to turn our kids into automatons that just know how to take tests, and they don't really know how to think for themselves.
Well, let's not drop that innovation tag so quickly. We want to hang on to that, but I appreciate your thoughts very much, Ron. David in Williamstown, Massachusetts. David, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Yes, I'm in the shadow of Williams College.
Okay.
I'm an alumnus. I've been out for 27 years, but I've been around the campus an awful lot the last
mm-hmm.
couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And while there's many good things that go on here, I've taken a special interest, especially around exam period, which is right now, in watching the kids. It's almost gut-wrenching to see what they go through and the condition that they get in sometimes physically, enough so that I actually clipped a couple of articles from the paper, the student paper last year, the Williams Record,
mm-hmm.
and I'll just read you the titles with the subtitles
okay.
quickly. One is called Life on Red Bull, How a Cult of Overachievement Hurts Intellectual Life. And the student actually wrote a little thing down here, says, staying up into the wee hours of night fueled only by synthetic energy of Red Bull and the nutritional value of 5 mozzarella sticks is certainly masochistic. Yet all of these things are near regular occurrences in the Purple Valley, which is what we call the surroundings of Williams College. The second article says,
yeah.
effortful imperfection as opposed to effortless perfection. And the subtitle is, challenging the culture of success and recognizing the possibility of failure, again, by another student, both of whom graduated in the spring. So the students
mm-hmm.
are definitely getting this and trying to, I don't think enough, but to reach out and get the message across.
David, you're an alum from 27 years ago. Don't you remember pulling all-nighters? Is there something unique here to this time?
Yes, I do remember that, but I am absolutely convinced I've thought about this many times because of the onslaught of information and the ways that it can come at you, and certainly also Facebook, and there's recreational, but there's this constant, I think, compared to when we were students 27 years ago. I mean, Tom, the only way you could get a phone call or someone could get in touch with you basically was your landline. Now you can get BlackBerry, you can get emailed. It's constant contact.
Yeah, that has definitely changed. It rains down at every second. David, that's terrific. I appreciate your call. Vicki, I mean, there's high self-awareness among these students that David's tracking in one corner of the country. What did students tell you about how they perceive what's going on in Race to Nowhere, Vicki?
Absolutely. So as we screen the film for students around the country, what we're hearing is that every student is impacted by the issues the film raises. And importantly, your caller that just identified the use of the performance-enhancing medication.
Life on Red Bull, well, at least caffeine drink, yeah.
That's right. Well, we have a student in the film, as you know, who shares her use of Adderall just to get through the tests and the homework.
This is supposed to be for ADD, and she's using it just to do the regular chores.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And then they're using medications to come off of the performance-enhancing meds. And I think that, you know, I just 2 days ago got a note from a student who identified this very issue, and it's an epidemic. We hear students all the time who get up at screenings and talk about this. And so importantly, as we go out and screen this film, we're creating a social action campaign, and one piece of that is going to be all about giving the students a voice and allowing them to participate in the change that we need in education. I think that so many of our solutions are actually going to come from the young people.
Do the students tell you, David saw them talking about a cult of overachievement. We'd like achievement to be a goal, certainly, but do the students see some kind of cult that's taking things beyond reason?
Right, and is it real achievement, Tom, right? I mean, what are we holding out as achievement? I think that's an important question.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I think that the way we're defining achievement today, it's all about extrinsic things like test scores and college admissions and the length of your resume, rather than are you developing critical thinking skills, problem-solving skills? Are you someone who's able to contribute to the world? Do you have good character? Are you resilient? Are you able to take risks, make mistakes, and pick yourself up and continue going?
Yang Zhao, in Michigan, when you look around, do you see Americans having the kind of strengths, young Americans, that Vicki just laid out there? I mean, this country has been very proud of its capacity to be creative, to be innovative, to look at things in fresh, deep, new ways. Are we still educating Americans to do that?
Well, I think we're losing that because of No Child Left Behind, because of what I think Secretary Duncan and Race to the Top, all those measures, you know, that when we try to push for accountability using standardized testing, we're definitely driving those possibilities out of the door. I mean, in my book, it's in one chapter, I specifically mentioned about that. I said the best kept secret can be of U.S. education, perhaps it can be discovered in our school talent shows. You know, that's a celebrates individual talent and diversity, preserves creativity and passion. Those are hard to measure, but it's possible to see them. And I think when many Asian educators come here to the U.S. and learn about U.S. education, I said, well, they look at the multiple criteria of judging success and also what's going to be a matter in the future to be globally competitive is to be more American, to be unique, not to be the same as others.
Well, you say that, Yang Zhao, but we read in the newspapers that the Chinese pushed their students like crazy in Shanghai to produce these, you know, top-in-the-world scores on the PISA test. I mean, they clearly are still pushing in that direction.
But, Tom, that's precisely to the detriment. Actually, if you look at around the whole nation, actually, they did not celebrate this big news, actually, in China, because the nation recognizes that what they're doing now is not going to produce the kind of innovators that's going to help them transform their economy from labor-intensive to knowledge-intensive. I think they are changing that. They just published their long-term education reform plan. Actually, that's going to be achieved 2020. Is about how to reorient their education system toward quality, toward thinking skills, not toward testing, because they have labeled their education system as called exam-oriented system, which is exact stifles creativity. So they come here to study a lot. I think what's happening now, what's happening in Shanghai right now when you read in the paper is precisely the kind of things we don't want to get into because it has evolved into a culture
so hard to change. Once we become, you know, accept test score as indication of quality of education, it will be very difficult to change. That's why I think films like Race to Nowhere is a very good warning sign that's going to America need to hear.
Yong Zhao, distinguished professor at the College of Education at Michigan State University, author of Catching Up or Leading the Way, American Education in the Age of Globalization. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Tom.
Denise, Vicky's talking about sort of creating a movement of students and parents to work against this, but what we see is what we get right now in this country, at least. You know, parents are out there with their kids every day trying to figure out what to do. If you're a parent listening to this and you see your child, maybe they're doing just fine, but maybe you see them in this cycle and you don't like it. I mean, what can be done? What can an individual parent do right now?
Well, we at Stanford work with parents and schools to make changes. And one of the things I think is to take Vicky's words to heart and say, look at your child and are you valuing in your family health, well-being, engagement with learning, ethics, right? Or are you falling prey to sort of push, push, push for the grades and that's the only thing that matters? And you have to look at how you speak about grades, how you talk about school, the kind of sleep your kids are getting. Are they on Red Bull 24/7? Parents have to really take care to talk with their family about their own definition of success and what they truly value and make sure that that's happening in their own house and then work with the schools to make sure that those same messages are getting across to the kids in the school system.
Denise Pope, a senior lecturer at the Stanford University School of Medicine, author of Doing School. Denise, thank you for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Vicky Abeles, you're opening up a big conversation here, and I'm sure we haven't heard nearly the end of it. But wow, you've really tapped into something people are thinking about, but from so many different directions, it's hard to kind of pin down right away. Congratulations on getting the topic out there and getting people thinking about meaningful education. We appreciate that, Vicky. Thanks so much for that and for the film Race to Nowhere.
Thanks for having us today, Tom.
Listeners, you can see clips, a trailer from the film, at our website, On Point Radio. Check it out and let us know what you think in the comments section there or at Facebook, on Twitter, onpointradio.org, On Point. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.